Blog Talk Radio.
Wonders of the Universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley. Sports in Depth. On the Trust in God Radio Network here on God Talk Radio. And we are on the Sunday before King Day. On the Sunday before an inauguration of the first African-American president in the history of America, for the second time, on a Sunday, before my beloved mother's birthday, on a Sunday, that Doc Stanley is back in New York City, home number two. On a Sunday, dear Lord, we can simply say once again, by the grace of God, we are alive and well. We thank you, dear Lord, and we come and pray you before you, and thank you, for Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. We ask you, Lord, that you give us not what we want, but what we need. And we need thee every hour. We thank you, Lord, for all blessings, big and small, all blessings that have come before and that will come, all are unmerited. But more importantly, Lord, we pay homage to you because you're God all by yourself. And your darling son, Jesus. So we take this time, although we should take every second, to recognize and praise you. Bless my family here. And now, in the USA and in Brazil, the panel family. We love you. We thank you. And we ask these blessings, dear Lord, in the name of our beloved Savior, Son of Man, and Son Jesus. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Yep, Doc is back in town. Now that Doc is back in New York City, number one city in the world, last two shows have been coming to you live from Fortaleza, the capital of the state of Ceará. And before that, we did live from São Paulo, largest city in not only Brazil, but Latin America. A lot of things happening back here. Mel Smith Jr. will be joining us to give us an intro into the Sports in Depth Nation. But before that, we've got, as we have things happening all over, live down, going to the inauguration, a very special moment. You know, I remember Dr. King's great line, and that is also the focus of our show today. Remember him? I may not get there with you, but we as a people will see the promised land. His quotes are eloquent, intelligent, and beyond reproach. And one of the first ones I remember of the many ones that he said was, if a man hasn't found something to die for, then life isn't worth living. The great Dr. King, and live now en route to D.C., our own football guru as we get ready for the big week. And we want to do this real quick before it even gets out of hand, before you know it'll be there. We want to say happy birthday to Dusty, who's going to be, just been a big, big week here of birthdays. And it's been amazing. And, you know, as far as we're concerned, Dusty's always been an elite champion, so he's right there with all of them. But as Stevie Wonder, and it's apropos music, too. Like, Probably she maybe should open up with it. And you know, the King Birthday Movement was one that was started by Hal Jackson. Hal Jackson was the mentor of Stevie Wonder. Okay? And Hal was the guy who started the whole foundation. Okay? The whole plan and put into motion the situation that brought about King Day becoming nationality. The late great Hal Jackson, we lost last year at age 97. So it was Hal who started the whole foundation, and Stevie Wonder, who Hal was a mentor to, who brought this song about. And we say happy birthday to Hal. Dr. King for his birthday. We also say happy birthday to my mother, who tomorrow celebrates her 84th birthday. Happy birthday to Dusty, happy birthday to 24.
Thank you, Doc.
We go back to kick the month off, and well, we just go back last week. Muhammad Ali had his 71st birthday, okay? On the 17th, along with another close dear friend of mine, Buddy McGurk. So Ali and Buddy on the 17th, the day before, the man considered the Ray Robinson of this year in a lot of people's eyes, Roy Jones Jr. on the 16th. The day before that is Dr. King's birthday, but also the oldest man ever to win a world championship and the longest reigning welterweight champion of all time, B-Hop, Bernard Hopkins. Now you go the week before, and you guess what? You also had on the 12th, Joe Frazier's birthday, on the 10th, George Foreman's birthday. And what a triangle we have here, because what happens here is this. Joe lost only two guys. The two guys he lost to was Foreman, whose birthday was before his, and Ali, whose birthday was after his. Joe only lost four fights, twice to Ali and twice to George Foreman. Now, you go back to kick him off, is my daughter Turpin's birthday the second. But on the fourth is Marla Barfield's birthday, the wife of Jesse Barfield, the only African-American to lead the league in home runs and due for a foreign team, as he was a 1986 home run champion, and he played for the Toronto Blue Jays. The month ends, boxing-wise, we want to stay there for a minute, on the birthday of the man who was at one time the boxing commissioner, but more importantly than that, Jack Roosevelt Robinson was the first African-American to play organized baseball, the first African-American to win the MVP, the first African-American to win a batting title, and the first African-American and player ever to win Rookie of the Year. So it's been a big month of birthdays. We say a little ahead of time, happy birthday to Dusty, who was on the 24th. And with that, we're going to let you be introduced into the Sports Def Nation by our own birthday boy all the time, back to Pearl Harbor, baby, none other than Rooney. Rooney, bring the world into the Sports Def Nation.
Thank you, good doctor. The Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink, he is here. And that is the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thanks, Mooney. Always moved by these great introductions. Thanks so much.
Hey, Doc.
So honored and pleased. Yeah.
Yeah, Doc, isn't it emotionally... Hey, Rooney, how you doing? How you doing? I'm sorry.
Always a pleasure, Dust. The great one himself. It's always an honor, sir.
Okay, thank you. Forgive my bad manners. I'm just elated that the guy that we hated the most is back.
No, you know, hey, listen, what I'm going to do, Billy's back home, but maybe we'll switch the name and put Doc back home, you know, Billy Paul, Paul song.
Yeah, but what I wanted to say, Doc, isn't it emotionally apropos?
Mm-hmm. that the president is being renominated today. He already took the oath of office already in closed doors. Tomorrow will be the big ceremony.
Right.
And it falls on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, I mean,
which is a segue into what he struggled for.
Yeah, it's amazing.
True,
that's true.
Right. Yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? It's the thing. The thing that so makes it special is it's a holiday tomorrow, and
yeah.
It's my mother's birthday. And surely,
right.
You know,
oh,
if anybody
has
a holiday, you know. In the background, I'm playing a little Billy Paul. Billy's back home for Dusty. I guess you have to say Doc's back home. New Year's Eve.
Home. Billy Paul is still a business guy.
Yeah, New Year's Eve in Brazil. I want to thank Deja Costa Massa Jr., he's a national promoter. I worked with Billy as he had a great show New Year's Eve there. I got a chance to meet the governor of the state of CRI. The thing with Billy, too, was that he performed like a million and a half people, man. You know, they wanted really Billy to be a part of the show. And you said so many things. I didn't want us to not forget Dr. King, because usually they try to do King Day before his birthday or right after.
Right.
And the thing too is that his birthday is on the 15th, and it starts a string of 3 days in a row of great fighters' birthday. The 15th is his birthday. It's also Bernard Hopkins' birthday. Then the 16th is Roy Jones Jr.'s birthday, and then on the 17th is both Ali and Buddy McGuirch. The week before, we've got both George Foreman and Joe Frazier's birthday, and we end the month, the 31st, of that of none other than Jack Roosevelt Robinson. But right now, gentlemen, it's time to talk sports. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. A lot of things have been happening. The Patriots, New England, one more chance to get to the Super Bowl, but Ray Lewis! And the Ravens stand in the way. The 49ers! Seems like they may not have too much problem with Atlanta. Atlanta finally won a playoff game, and now they're heading toward maybe the Super Bowl. Nobody got voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And I can understand that to a degree, but how does Mike Piazza not get into the Baseball Hall of Fame? And that great line by Burt Flowers, when it comes to the steroid generation, if everybody was doing it, then who in the world was cheating? Birthdays, as we said, looking at the big ones, Muhammad Ali, 71 years old on the 17th. This is the date around that birthday. And at one time, the best welterweight, pound for pound, the world, Buddy McGuirt. Same day, the day before, the man considered by many to be the Sugar Ray Robinson of his era, Roy Jones. Georgia and the 15th Seahawks, oldest man ever to win a world championship, longest reigning middleweight champion in the history of the sport with the most adventures, from Philadelphia, Bernard Hopkins. We perform birthday salutations to the late Smoking Joe Frazier, who was right here on the show with us. The last show he did, Ready Rise, was right here. And George Foreman, oldest man ever to win the heavyweight championship of the world. Let's say happy birthday to my beloved mother tomorrow. And Dusty on the 24th. Slide on down on the 31st. Remember Jack Roosevelt Robinson, first African-American to play in the big league. First African-American to win the batting championship. First African-American to win the Rookie of the Year. First man ever to do that, period. And the first African-American to win the MVP, Jack Roosevelt Robinson. And as we continue to move on, remember Marla Barfield, whose husband, Jesse Barfield, back in 1986, became the first African-American to lead the league in home runs for a foreign team, as he was a stellar defensive outfielder for Ron Gruden. Ladies and gentlemen, it's King Day. It's my mother's birthday. It's Sports and Death from New York. Doc and the Truth live once again. And with that, we're going to go down to C-Wings. C-Wings. This is a big football weekend. You're on your way down to D.C. We're down to the Ravens. We're down to New England. You know, last year it seemed like a bad call was the difference between the Ravens not getting the shot. New England has been an offensive juggernaut. Once again, they're losing one of the tight ends
your thoughts, your feeling here. Who wins this game and why?
Well, Cedric coming to you live on the Sports and Depth on the Trust and God Network. We are here live, coming from the nation's capital, District of Columbia.
I must
first and foremost say, Doc, welcome back on a historic weekend. You never see
here, here.
Wow. I must say happy birthday to all of our celebratees, and happy birthday to the late Dr. King, who was not only a champion for the human cause, but he was a man of God, and I think that's what made him so great. As we travel here to Washington, D.C. on this historic weekend, as Barack Hussein Obama was sworn in as the 44th president, and a man who is great, who has fought through a lot of adversity to push the health care bill and a lot of great things.
Absolutely.
Even though he was opposed. I mean, that just shows him that, just shows the country how great, the world, how great he is, how he manages the political life and his family life, and just to show
right.
how great he is. Dusty, I want to
yes.
wish you a happy 105th birthday.
Hey, that's 110,
baby.
Round it off.
Oh, yeah, 110.
Exactly. Yeah, when it's C-Wings, you missed it by five. It's 110. I was Jack Johnson's corner man. I carried his bucket. So don't.
It was you, Dusty. It was you who told little David, go to the body and then the head. Cut it out.
God and he was the corner man for Jack Johnson. So we might, you know. But, Doc, happy birthday to your mom as well. And I wanted to say hello to the distinguished co-host, Rooney, Dusty, Harold, who's not here, Hoopster, who's not here, Lady A. And as we travel, and I travel here with three of the coolest, smoothest people in the world, three of the coolest, smoothest people in the world that I know, big football weekend.
Absolutely.
I believe that, and Doc, you remember when we were covering the game with the 49ers against the Jets, where basically it was a practice for the 49ers as the Jets
couldn't get
in the red zone. They saw the red zone, but they acted opposite of what a bull would do when they see red. They didn't go toward it. They went the opposite direction.
I think that
you will see the 49ers travel cross country and beat the Atlanta Falcons at home.
Wow.
I don't think that the Atlanta Falcons offense can match up with the 49ers offense. These guys are on a mission. You have Kaepernick, who represents the new age quarterback, the runner, the thrower, the absolute athlete. This guy is phenomenal. He is phenomenal. Yep. He's supported by good wide receivers, good offensive line. I mean, he kind of dwarfs RG3, and RG3 is great when he does the fake handoff and he takes off down
right.
the field. But this guy is like a gazelle. I've never seen a quarterback that could run a 4.3 40 like that. The guy is big, he's strong, he's accurate, and he's a technician. So
doesn't he remind you of Joe Montana? I mean, at least this is my perception.
He has some traits of Joe Montana.
Yeah.
I think he's more athletic than Montana.
Than Joe
Montana.
Yes, you're right.
He was somewhat athletic, but this guy is like they built him in a factory. So this guy
is a quarterback of this era, okay? He's the quarterback of this time. He's not the quarterback in the same sense of Joe. Nobody will be in a lot of ways because of who Joe was and because of the era. Today's quarterback, yeah, I mean, like I said, he's not a quarterback because quarterback doesn't – as long as – until you get a quarterback, the only true quarterback in the game today, Peyton Manning, calls his own plays, and Brady, I think, a lot of times basically can call his own plays. But this guy is big. He's strong. What makes him so dangerous, he has so many weapons around him who he can throw
right.
to. So you got to be – is he going to throw the moss? Is he going to throw – he's got so many guys he can throw the ball to. He's got a guy coming out the backfield. So defensively, you cannot just key on him. Finally, the 49ers have decided on one quarterback. I think that was the whole key to their success, that they finally have one guy behind it, because the guy they had last year, I didn't think he was – as much as it was made up to be. I think the team got there in spite of him. But it's no question that this guy is part of the new age, new era quarterback. Well, right now he stands alone. I mean, let's not forget that guy up in Vic kind of started this thing. Then we've also got the guy up there who had a great game last week, who came up a little short, you know, against the Atlanta. I didn't understand what Pete Carroll was doing with those timeouts. Why was he saving the timeouts? I understand the idea of trying to run the clock down, but he had 2 minutes left. He had two timeouts left. The next thing you know, it's 44 seconds. It came back to haunt him because if he had another 20 seconds, he'd have won that football game. But the guy had a heck of a year.
No, he didn't need the extra 20 seconds. They were out of timeouts. Pete Carroll tried to isolate the quarterback, and statistically,
I'm not talking about Atlanta's timeout. I'm talking about Pete Carroll. When they tied the football game up, he had two timeouts and the 2 minute warning. Okay, the next thing you know, he's down to 44 seconds. They got into the end zone, which was great. But I mean, I don't understand why he didn't use one of his timeouts. Okay, because as it turned out, had he had some more time, his team could have won the football game. But as it turned out, he didn't have any time. So what were you saving the two timeouts for? I understand. I mean, you had your two-minute warning. You had two timeouts. You're going down the field. You were going to score. But, I mean, why not use a timeout?
I think he made a bad decision. And, first of all, the defense. The defense played too liberal. They gave up too much yardage.
Right.
They had about 35, 40 seconds tops to march the field and to get the ball down into field goal territory. I mean, that was a bad call on the defense. I mean, they should have played. They played, I think, too deep.
I've always said this, and the great Larry Hardesty, who opens the show, Doc Stanley says, you know, the pre-fence defense only does one thing, prevents you from winning.
And that's all it does.
But the point that I'm making is that with two timeouts left, I still think, and if you look at it, it kind of makes me look right, I still think he should have used the timeout, okay? And had he used the timeout, his team would have had more than 8 seconds to get down the field, because if they had a minute or they had 40 seconds, they would have got down the field and got the field goal. Then he turns around and calls the timeout and acts like he doesn't call the timeout. And so I don't know if the kicker had turned the timeout or not, and just kicked right through. But I just thought, you know, he should have used the timeouts. And as it turned out to be, he could have used more time.
But jumping the gun. Same thing. It was management or coaching mistakes in the first place with the Denver Broncos. Somebody correct me.
I'm not going through another year of you agreeing with me and me with you. Okay, so just stop right now because you aren't right. You're 100% right. You got Peyton Manning with the football. You got 37 seconds left
and two timeouts
and you kneel down and take a knee. That's just why this weekend the Denver Broncos, like us, we'll be watching the game on TV. That's the simple
thing. Tebow is laughing all the way to the bank. Didn't win the first playoff. He did last year.
Yep.
But he had a better offensive line, too, and the offense was more catered to Tebow's style of playing. And I believe when the Jets picked him up and then you pick up Sparano, they had the style of play that the Tebow plays and the way that you can use him, because obviously – he can run. Let's not get that mixed up. But the problem with him is he is not accurate in throwing on a run. And then you add that on top of a depleted wide receiving core, which the Jets had. That's a recipe. That's like mixing fire and gasoline. It just blew up in the Jets' face. So,
let me give you guys this one statistic before you continue, okay? I've given you statistics before on this show, and I want this panel to really take heed of this statistic, okay? Turnovers are a cardinal sin in the NFL, as you all know, okay? You have to take care of football. Okay. Mark Sanchez has turned the ball over, including this season and last season, 50 times. Not 15, not 25. He has turned the ball over a total of 50 times in two seasons. That does it all right there.
And let me add, using the term of the great Marion Boykin, Marion B. Boykin, black, bodacious, brilliant, a brother, and we want to say happy birthday to his wife, who had a January 1st birthday. And let me add a little bit more. Let me put a little kerosene on this. Not only did he have 50 turnovers, but he had the most turnovers by any quarterback in the red zone. What a psychological deflation that is. Here we are on the 17-yard line, and we didn't get in. Here we are on the 20-yard line, and we didn't get in. Here we are second and one, and we didn't get in. I mean, you just add the fact that not only did you have the turnovers, but it's where you had them. You know what I mean?
They brought Tebow in. When they got into the red zone, the Jets had him bulk up about 10 or 15 pounds because I always said, and I said this when he played in college, the guy is more of a fullback. He's not what you would call an NFL quarterback by the standards, in my opinion. Don't get me wrong, the guy is an athlete, but I don't think he's a quarterback. The Jets were going to use him in the red zone to try to run the ball, but when they had these injuries and they had struggles in a way that they couldn't use him, now it's like, oh, what do we do with this guy? You got Sanchez turning the ball over, and you have Tebow, who you haven't found any way to use.
C-Wings, I want to say this now. I'm going to say this again. I love the Jets. I used to love them. Loved it. They were the only team that me and my dad agreed on in this town. But, and hey, you are unquestionably one of the great geniuses of this sport, and definitely the head man here from the football. But I don't want to talk about the Jets because it was inexplicable.
Can we talk about the living and not the dead?
It was inexplicable. It was insulting. It was degrading. It was cheesy. It was trifling what they did and how they did. And the bottom line is, once again, as this season has ended, and now even Peyton Manning can't say it, okay? He did. Tebow took him to the division, which Peyton did, okay? But, Dak, Tebow beat the Steelers. I mean, they moved on. They didn't do it. The thing here is, who wins this game today, Wings? We got, you know, Brady has lost one of his big pieces, and I found this quite funny that it looks like that Randy Moss is going to get back to the Super Bowl and maybe win a Super Bowl now. I think the 49ers are definitely going to go there. But, no, who wins this Ravens game? You know, Flacco is playing like the quarterback they always thought he could be. And I think the fact that they're playing, again, in Foxborough is going to be more of an advantage for the Ravens. I just think the Ravens are going to pull this football game off. Now, you're the man. What's that?
I think the Ravens will pull it off. It won't be a blowout. But the key to the Ravens is when you look at Tom Brady, he completed 22 passes.
Right.
You have five more rushes coming from the Baltimore Ravens. They have to cover the middle of the field because you got Danny Woodhead. These guys, that he's
Hernandez.
Small, but he's like Hernandez. These guys, and don't forget Vereen. The thing about Bill Belichick, he could take a no-name guy off the street, and he'll turn him into a superstar overnight. So, by far, this is not an easy game for Baltimore. I believe that Baltimore should have went to the Super Bowl last year. That was definitely a touchdown. It was completed. He had full possession, 2 feet down. Terrible call on the referee. I think today the Baltimore Ravens will win 27-21.
You made a point here, too. It seems that people have forgotten the geniusy, forgotten the flexibility that Belichick brings, you know, the ability to adapt and create not only – like you say, stars for those games. But did football sometimes this year or some way forget what a great coach Bill Belichick is?
I don't think so. I mean, you look at the way Bill Belichick does his press conferences. He never leaves you anything. He keeps you guessing. He never throws anything out there. Very bland. But he is definitely a future Hall of Famer. Tom Brady, no doubt about it as well. I mean, you run a team like the New England Patriots who has the toughest offensive playbook in the National Football League,
right,
and they run it, I mean, with such precision. The key also today is to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hand. You give him 22 seconds, he'll give you a touchdown. This guy marches the ball. I tell you, he's such a genius. I mean, but you have to not only put pressure, you look at the game films and you look when they put pressure on Tom Brady, and especially when they bring it up from the left and right side, he goes right to the middle. He hits Hernandez, Danny Woodhead. Now you got this guy Vereen in there. I mean, look out. I predicted that the New England Patriots were going to score up in the 40s. But now you add the key element of Ray Lewis. This guy, I mean, he's not the biggest guy as far as stature, but his when he gets on the field, Ray Lewis is a different person. This guy is he's phenomenal. I think the two greatest linebackers ever, in my opinion, is LT and Ray Lewis. I mean, he's a leader. The guy, he's a workhorse. He can fire up the team. That's what they were looking for. This is his last season. I mean, what better way to go out than with the
Ray Lewis, Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Radio Network. Doc is back in town, and we're back here live from the number one city in the world, New York City. Losing Billy Falls, Billy's back as part of Doc is back. You know, Wings, if Ray Lewis doesn't come back, if Ray Lewis had stayed sidelined, if Ray Lewis is not on the football field, are the Ravens where they are now?
Absolutely not. I don't believe they would have made it as far. I mean, Ray Lewis knows how to fire up the team. I mean, we saw that last year when we covered the Jets team, and I think that was his pressure on Mark Sanchez was the reason why I believe Mark Sanchez plays like he doesn't want to get hit by any team.
Anybody.
And Ray Lewis, he just brings it. I mean, he's like the Rock. Just bring it. Ray Lewis, they wouldn't have never got this far. He's one of the true leaders. He's up there with Peyton Manning as far as being a leader of a team. I mean, it goes without saying with Peyton Manning, though, I think the greatest quarterback to ever play in the National Football League. But Ray Lewis, I mean, if they didn't have him, they wouldn't be here. So, in my prediction, 27-21, Baltimore Ravens. And a prediction for the 49ers. First of all, I believe that the crowd noise in the Dome Stadium will play against the Atlanta Falcons and play right into the hands of the 49ers. Because you got, absolutely, you got Kaepernick. I mean, this guy, he can hand off the ball. I think he's one of the best in the league. You're going to see them, I would say, 35-19.
Wow.
Doesn't
Ray Lewis remind us, or should remind us, of Dave Singletary from Chicago Bears? I mean, that's the guy that even scared me watching him on television, man.
Well, I think Ray has more mobility than Singletary, and Singletary was surrounded by a great defense. I think Ray has made it's a difference between a guy who makes his team so much better as opposed to a guy who fits in a good team. You know, people talked about John Stockton. Stockton fit into a good team. Magic made the Lakers a better team. Great players, but that ability to pass the ball. Singletary, great defensive middle, but if you're talking about a middle linebacker, the greatest middle linebacker come out of Chicago, it's got to be Dick Butkus. But he was right in that mold. But I think Ray has, if I'm looking for the right word here, C-Wing, Ray has more flair. You know, it's like DiMaggio and Mays, great center fielder, but Willie had the flair. And I think the excitement that Willie brought to the game also, you know, it just touched not only the crowd, know, but his teammates. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. Tell me something now, Wings. The 49ers get in and the Ravens get in, and who wins the Super Bowl?
That's a tough call there. I think it will be tight. If it's 49ers Baltimore, it's hard to call at this point. I'm definitely rooting for Baltimore, but it kind of tips in the favor of the 49ers with mm-hmm. what they have. I mean,
what about if the game would be played, and this is, you know, Dusty and C-Wings along with the Melco Cell, which is really crazy. I mean, the whole idea of playing the Super Bowl was to play on a neutral site in warm weather. And, you know, but what about if they would, let's say, have played the game, which is not going to be the case, though, in New York in cold weather? Would cold weather would be advantageous
against the in favor of Baltimore against the 49ers. I mean, when you have a team that plays in a dome or in warm weather, it's definitely having a disadvantage to the warm weather team. I mean, it's just,
absolutely,
you look at
yeah.
a team like Green Bay, these guys play, that's the frozen tundra. I've
yeah.
gone to games there in December. I can't describe the cold. And these guys playing short sleeves, they play like it's in September, the first week of September.
And see, I believe that the Super Bowl is scheduled to be played in Jersey next year anyway.
Yeah, New York.
Oh,
yeah.
You have Super Bowl coming to MetLife Stadium. And let's not forget, Rooney, the World Wrestling Entertainment brings WrestleMania.
Yeah, WrestleMania.
Wait a minute. I'm reading something. Stan Musial passed away?
He passed away along with who was the other one, Doc? Two of icons passed away.
I just saw this on the screen. Stan Musial.
Two icons. Musial and who was it? It was two icons passed away.
Give me his team. The other guy, Dusty. I mean, Rooney, can you think of the team?
No, Doc, I can't. My mind is
family of Mr. Chu, better known as Proposition Joe from The Wire, who passed away, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, of heart failure. One of the greatest black actors who could have gone from Baltimore to Hollywood and commanded more money, and he stayed. He chose to stay inside the city of Baltimore, and he was a pioneer in black arts. And acting, and who also Weaver, yes, and who was instrumental in hiring a lot of the young black youths from the Baltimore inner city area to get work inside the industry. So I definitely, on behalf of the Sports and Deaf Nation and the Sports and Deaf host and co-host, we give our condolences to the family of Mr. Chu. Gentlemen, I must run as we are coming up near 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm definitely going to tell Barack, the POTUS, and the FLOTUS, Michelle Obama, that the Sports and Deaf Nation are 100,000% behind him, and we
indeed
wish him the best in his second term. Gentlemen, and our Sports and Deaf listeners, we thank you for listening and supporting the show. Gentlemen,
C-Wings, just tell OB Doc said hi, baby. Later for the Sports and Deaf. Just tell him I said hi. That's all. Come on.
I'm going to tell Barack that Doc said, give him a call. He's
waiting for it.
Give him a call.
we're waiting. Give him a call. We could interview him on Chicago Sports.
Hey, Wings, we want to thank you for joining us. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, live from 1600 Pennsylvania area. Also, once again, Sean White, they are the best to ever do it, this crew. The Dusty Lois, Dusty X, Mel, Cosell, Jr., Cincinnati Sea Wings. We just broke it to you. Stanley Frank Musial, three-time MVP, first National League ever to win MVP three times, seven-time batting champion, lifetime 331 hitter, and the man. When the Brooklyn Dodgers came to St. Louis and the St. Louis players said they were going to boycott, Stan Musial stood up and said, hey, he's got the right to be here like anybody else. I got nothing to do with it. When Jackie Robinson came to first base, he stuck out his hand and said, Jackie, welcome to to the big league.
Welcome
Stanley
to the big league.
Frank Musial, the guy that I was nicknamed after as a little leaguer. We give our condolences
oh
to
God.
His family and a great player. Like I said, a 7-time batting champion, 3-time MVP, almost won the Triple Crown back in 1948. Missed it because he hit a home run that was in a game that was at a rain. I finally get those stats for you. We're going to go back in a couple of minutes, too. But it's Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. The passing of both Earl Weaver, the great manager of the Baltimore Orioles, and Eddie Murray, tried to catch you on his but was the manager of Eddie and Cal Ripken Jr.
Palmer.
And Jim Palmer and a host of those great players. Mike Cuellar, who at the time, you know, Cuellar won the Cy Young, was the first Latin pitcher ever to win the Cy Young Award. And we just want to send our condolences to both the families of Weaver and Stanley Frank Musial, number 6. And in the Sports in Depth, Trust in God Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame, we've got a couple. I've got a great picture here. Me and Stanley Frank Musial and the governor, Governor Carey, sitting there chatting. He used to often come up to the Hall of Fame, which I don't think I have ceremony this year. Nobody got inducted, but he would play his harmonica. A great player, a great human being, number 6. I think Stan is in his late 80s, maybe 90s. A great, great player. And Weaver, a great,
he's
great
in
manager.
91.
And we are all here at the Sports in Depth. Send our condolences out to both families and recognize not only two great Hall of Famers in baseball, but two great Hall of Famers in the game of life. And let's use another Dr. Queen quote. Life's most persistent, the most urgent question is, what are you doing for us? We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Dia Zusty X and Melco Sell Smith Jr. It's Sports in Depth, live from New York City again. We are saluting, remembering Dr. King, saluting Barack Obama, and now also remembering Stanley Frank Musial and Earl Weaver, and also the actor just mentioned by Seaman. Gentlemen, hang on.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, please, for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me.
What I have to do here, too, Doc Stanley, I'm going to find a name of this. I was in Brazil, and me and Desio, we ordered something to eat, burgers, fries. When the guy came, he had forgotten our beverages. We had ordered a água com gás, which is seltzer water, and Desio had ordered a guaraná, which is one of the number one beverages in Brazil. You only can get in Brazil. It's sort of like the ginger ale. And guy apologized and everything. Oh, about 45 minutes later, get the ring from downstairs. They brought back the two beverages that they had forgotten with a little thank you note. And Chapiz is the name of that organization. I told them I would give them a free plug. Double check the spelling. So you're ever in Fortaleza, it's a new company. Me and Desi were walking along the Bahia Mar, and the lady had given us that particular flyer, and they've got a special commissioner. So this portion of Sports in Depth has been brought to you by Chapiz from Fortaleza, Brazil, and they will be always mentioned here as our sponsor. The food was outstanding, the service was outstanding, but to turn around and do what they did showed not only what they are as an organization, but so much class and character. Gentlemen, we cannot move into more football without taking a quick look at what happened by nobody getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame. This is the second time it's happened in a while. I think it's about the first time since the 80s. I understand the so-called steroid mindset, but we look back at Roger Clemens. He was exonerated. Barry Bonds was never, ever found guilty. But the question I ask, you're going to start with you, Rooney. What happened to Mike Piazza? I mean, are you saying on the down low now that you thought Piazza was taking steroids? Here's a guy.
Well, I'm answering your question, Doc. And again, thanks for the question. Mm-hmm. There were rumors. I mean, there was an undercurrent. I'm sure Dusty would agree. There had been an undercurrent of
we wonder, you know, was Mike, no, I mean, it's not as strong as, say, some others, but there have been rumors that, you know, Mike's body wasn't what it was, you know, some years ago, that, you know, he had gotten a bit bulky. What it was, Doc, as far as I see, was basically the writers themselves saying, look, we don't know about a lot of these guys, but we're going to hold four from putting them in, whether it's the first ballot or whatever, until maybe we get some information or let them wait for a year or two. And if all comes back clear, if we don't have any kind of solid proof, we'll vote them. It was basically vote them in. It was basically, I think, the writers basically saying, hey, we're not sure about these guys, or we are sure about some guys, they're not sure about others. Either way, I'm not going to vote them in now. Maybe in a year or two, if I'm to my satisfaction, I don't hear, there's no solid proof, maybe I'll vote them there now. But as far as putting these guys in now, or on the first ballots, if you will, not going to happen. So I think it was basically, Doc, the writers doing their own, I guess, brand of preventive justice. And the fact that, like I say, they were sure about some guys and not so sure about others.
Well, you see, Doc, ML, it's unfortunate, and I use the term loosely, it's unfortunate. Doc Stanley comes home from Brazil, and he's bulked up. He's as big as Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he plays a sport. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Doc was not that big 3 weeks ago. And something is wrong here. So let's approach with caution before we even name him to this level or to that level. And it's unfortunate. Finger-pointing, gossip, unsubstantiated perception, perceptive attitudes can destroy a person's career. You know, I started to bring this up a long time ago. You know, I'm long-winded. You guys know that. Very analytical. Many years ago, Doc, you may have been a baby. You may not remember, Mel. You know, when there was a surge of communism in the United States at all levels, corporate level, sports level, Hollywood level, the whole nine yards. There was a Senator Joe McCarthy who was deemed nominated to clean out communism at all levels. I mean, there were people who had friends who were communists, but were not communists. Friends who were awarded. There was a Larry Parks who did the Al Jolson blackface entertainment. He was given an award by a communist organization who he didn't know were communists. What happens? McCarthy found that out. Associate destroyed his Hollywood career. He could never get a. He could never
another
get
job.
A cartoon. He couldn't even get a cartoon. Subsequently, the man was ruled out of Hollywood, and he committed suicide. His wife, Evelyn Keyes, another top actress, because she was married to Larry Parks, also was ruled out of Hollywood, and she also committed suicide. So let's bring that to the present. Mike Piazza really, quite frankly, honestly, never impressed me as much, but he was a good ball player. And for anybody, and in the media, there's such a thing called responsive journalism.
Hello?
There's responsive journalism.
Yeah.
You don't begin to start gossips. You don't begin. They did that to Bautista, the right fielder from the Toronto Blue Jays. He was a nothing home run hitter. And then all of a sudden he hit 40, 45, 46. 50. He beat Granderson. I said, oh, wait a minute, man. He could be on steroids. All of Pujols, Albert Pujols, 10 years straight, he was hitting 30 or more home runs. He's a big dude. He pumps iron every day. Over 100 RBIs in 10 years. Wait a minute, man. Maybe he was.
That's the right-handed hitter of his generation. Nobody's had the first 10 years of their career with the kind of numbers he had.
And all of a sudden, he's on the juice. I mean, Jose Reyes has operations. He got hit, had surgeries. He goes to a doctor that's associated or was well-known in the Balco scandal. Oh, well, wait a minute. Jose Reyes So this is what I'm saying to you. A-Rod just had a surgery. They said it's possibly due to his undiluted steroids that he was taking in Texas. All the doctors came by and say had nothing to do with steroids. So this is what I'm saying to you to capsulize.
Let's even go back. I guess we're going to agree this year too, Seth, because I let the hell let it go. Let's go back. No, you hit the point. Eddie Murray told me before the list came out. He said, hey, man, you're going to be surprised at some names on the list. But when the list came out, how amazing it was, Rooney, how amazing it was, Dusty, that the only names leaked out of a list of 102 guys happened to be Alex Rodriguez.
Right.
Okay.
Because this reporter made it a crusade
and
to go after him. The story of the Sports Illustrated.
But I'm saying, Dusty, the three names leaked were all guys that were minorities of color. 102 names, but ironically, A-Rod, Big Poppy, and Manny Ramirez. You go back to Barry Bonds. Okay, let's go back to Barry Bonds, Dusty.
The pressure was so much on the Yankees because of his new upgraded contract that he had to admit. He had to go before a panel of reporters and in front of the Yankees.
The thing with that was it was amazing at how many times, he kept saying, okay, he said, I did it. Now they want to know, like, what day did you do it? What time did you did it? Dusty, did you shoot it in the left cheek or the right cheek? it became ridiculous, man.
Right. So getting back to Mike Piazza, who may be a homegrown, shucks type of dude, Hollywood handsome face and all that, because he was so big, he said, we're not sure. We're not sure, so we got to hold back. It's criminal.
The guy, first of all, nobody wanted the guy that came to the Major League. The guy was a low draft pick. I remember we talked one time. He was a switching first baseman, and I asked him, why did you switch? He said, I couldn't make the Major League as a switching first baseman. Now, here's the guy. I mean, Piazza never changed in size. The same Piazza you saw.
Always big, yeah.
Same size. So he never changed in size. And, are you sort of penalizing the guy for not being, I never heard he had any problems with the media. I mean, you look at the Barry Bond, Doc Stanley, Sports and Death Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, saying happy birthday to my beloved mother tomorrow. We're remembering the birthday of Dr. King Jr., saying happy birthday to Muhammad Ali and my another dear friend, Buddy McGirt on the 17th, Roy Jones Jr. 16th, B. Hopkins on the 15th, George Foreman on the 10th, and remembering also late birthday greetings to the late Smoking Joe Frazier, Marla Barfield, wife of Jesse Barfield, only African-American to lead the league in home runs for a foreign baseball team, Jackie Robinson, the 30th. There's a thing here, too, Dusty, you look at that whole situation. Now, Clemens was exonerated. His trainer said he took it. Clemens said he did.
The Barry's trial of perjury. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but Barry's trainer said he didn't take it. They put the guy in jail. I mean, you look at – come on, let's – Barry Bonds, Rooney, was blackballed.
Well, Doc, you have to remember, not to interrupt you, Doc, but that whole era of guys are under suspicion.
Right. It became a tidal wave of coming out of the steroid closet, man.
Dusty, so you're telling me, and remember that this portion of Sports in Depth is brought to you by Chipitos, Chipitos, and Fuck the Laser Brazil. They've got it all, baby. They got hamburgers, pizzas, sandwich, calzones.
Well,
the
you best for service. Everyone, man. What's wrong with you?
Hey, I did, but I ate it, Dusty. Come on, baby. Calm down. I had you, too. I brought them. Hey, Dusty, they gone now, baby. You know what I mean? and it's, what I want to say for my Portuguese audience out there listening, voice in Fortaleza is muito importante em Tuvai Chapitos. Número uno, não somente em Brasil, em todo Brasil e em el mundo. Chapitos is incredible. Por você, they deliver till late at night. They are the sponsors here of Sports and Depth. We will always get a commercial. We'll give them a commercial. We're going to send them part of this. Chapitos, Chapitos. that is where you want to go. They have hamburgers. They have calzones. They have pizzas. They have, they even have desserts, man. I got to, but what they have, more importantly, is they have the number one service that you're going to want. They can deliver, and they're a first-class organization, the best, I think, right now, in Fortaleza, Brazil. Once again, Chipitos, numero uno. No solamente in Fortaleza, but in El Mundo, Chipitos. Oh, and the thing, too, here, we talk, you know, you said something here, Dusty, that's really, that you know what, Rooney, it explains it all. Piazza got washed up in the tidal wave. It was unfair. It was
exactly.
Unfortunate, but he got washed up in the but gentlemen, it wasn't right. This is the all-time home run king as a catcher. A lot of people say the best hitting catcher of all time. And then what are we going to do? If the guy dies this year, they put him in next year? Dusty, Rooney, he should be there.
Of course he should be. I mean, like I said before, I'm not a fan. I'm an analyst. But the man played enough to build up. You know who didn't make the Hall of Fame and will never make the Hall of Fame, which is questionable? Bernie Williams. He's dead. He's dead now. He's had his two or three shots at, and he's out. I mean, and the man had numbers. Maybe not as good as Piazza, but he had numbers to allow him to squeak by. But he's dead. He will not be nominated anymore.
Well, you know what's amazing, man, too, is this thing. I looked at Jim Rice, and I always, Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Radio Network, Sports in Depth, is a show live from New York City. The last two shows live was from Fortaleza, and the Ortho was live from St. Paul. Yeah, I looked at Jim Rice taking 15 years to get into the Hall of Fame. And it's mind-boggling. When he retired, Jim Rice had more home runs and drove in more than anybody of his era, was the only guy in a three-year period, with the exception of Lou Gehrig, to average 40 home runs, 300 batting average, 200 hits, 3 years in a row. That's 600 hits. 200 hits over 200 hits in a three-year period, 600 hits, 100 RBIs, 100 scored runs, okay, 20 triples, 15 triples, 27 doubles, and 40 home runs, and the guy made it in his last year. About, you know, it's time to look at this voting process, man, and who votes. I remember a guy told me that he would never vote for Jim Rice because Jim Rice only played for himself. Now, I don't understand this. Does he hit 347?
They create these things. That's the distorted perceptions.
Great, Dusty.
Distorted
great
perceptions.
Great, Dusty. You hit it on head, Dusty, again. Again, you're rolling, baby. You're right. You're right. I mean,
they create this distortion
Dusty,
about a
how do you hit 347 4 years in a row? How does Rooney win 22 games for 5 years with an ERA of 2.7 and you're not a Hall of Famer? Listen, I said this, and let me tell you something. I love the scooter. Love the scooter. But
did
for
you
my
read
money,
the story on the scooter? I mean,
no,
we're talking reality.
Go ahead.
The dude said he never wanted him in the. He would never vote for the scooter, and he had to be overruled by the Veterans Committee, was it or something, to get the scooter in there. What was wrong with the scooter? I mean, this is what I'm saying. It's people who develop this perceptive attitude against a particular candidate, and as long as they have voting power, they're not going to favor this person. And they're going to do everything to sabotage the candidacy of the person, man. I mean, it's sad. You ask a question, a psychological question. How do we revamp and clean up this voting committee? I mean, to open up their minds and get rid of perceptions and biases and whatever.
We don't. What you're saying is we don't. We can't.
We can't. And then we got to do a house cleaning. How the hell do we do a house cleaning? You know, and then we had, there was a comment there in the Spanish paper that Sammy Sosa, he's not in. Well, he wasn't in because they claim he admitted it that he had taken some steroids. I mean, admitted it. Well, so did Andy Pettit. I mean, and they're talking about him. He's a Hall of Fame candidate.
No, and now they're talking about Andy Pettit. They let Pettit come back into baseball. The same thing with Jason Giambi.
You know what I mean? I mean, they the big thing they said about Barry Bonds, if he had admitted it, you know what I mean, it all been all right. But, you know, listen officer, I wasn't there at 7:30 last night. I wasn't at that gas station 7:30 last night. I mean, look at that thing, Doc Stanley Sports, and that Blog Talk Radio, Custom Guard Radio Network. I mean, look at that thing with the Central Park kids, you know. The cops tell the kids, just admit it. The kids are like, well, what's to get out of here?
They admitted
ruined.
Something that, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely
life
right.
Ruined. I mean, something they didn't do, okay, and it's in the great words of Harold Weston, you know, just sad and touching. Gentlemen, a small break, and we'll be right back here as we can.
Oh, man,
we'll
you got me going, man. You got me on a platform here, man. I'm so freaking angry.
Go
ahead.
Okay, here we go. Doc Stanley, Sports, once again, Sports and Depth. Here, live from New York City. Our last show was in Fort Lauderdale, Brazil, but Chipitos, that's what Sports in Depth is sponsored by. That's where you got to go when you're in Fort Lauderdale. It's not only the best, it's the absolute best. So remember, Chipitos in Fort Lauderdale, Brazil, they deliver. We have it all. Pizzas, sandwiches, calzones, hamburgers, but more importantly, they have the number one service in all of Fortaleza. Numero uno, no solamente en Fortaleza, but el mundo, Chipitos, Doc Stanley, in the Sports and Depth Nation here in the way of New York. And we're going to go back, and we'll probably close in a good few minutes or so. Gentlemen, Dusty, we're talking about the football things, what does boxing hold for? Now, I'm hearing that Bernard Hopkins is coming back into the ring.
Yes, he's coming back. I mean, I have my son. My son is my outfield reporter. He calls me, Pop. Man, hey, Bernard is coming back. I said, no, he's not coming
back.
Dusty,
do not reveal your sources on the air, please. Okay?
That's my assistant. My under.
Okay, all right. Okay, hey, we'll buy that. Okay, we'll buy that assistant. You know what I mean?
Anyway, he says he's fighting Tavoris Cloud. He says, are you kidding me? Tavoris Cloud is a Don King, undefeated, no talent, light heavyweight champ. He's one who got battered for 10 rounds out of a 12-round fight with Gabriel Sarmiento, a sparring partner of Sergio Martinez.
Hey, Dusty, quit showing off, man. Just give us the facts, okay? Quit showing off.
Right, okay. Now, I'm saying, why is Hopkins doing this? Why? Because Hopkins
is
supposedly
making the money. Why, Dusty?
He doesn't need the money because he's an executive or PR man for Golden Boy One, but the man is still marketable. Listen to this, marketable. He's making supposedly a $5 to $6 million payday. You know, number one, more than Tavoris Cloud. Number one. Number two. The man, you got to give him credit. You cannot take away from him. The man is like a Jack LaLanne of color. He eats the right sources. He takes care of his body. He's always in the gym. He's ready. He's ready, willing, and able to fight and put up a good show, as bad as it is, like Chad Dawson. And people still want to see the man break the record. They want him to be fit.
You still messing with Chad Dawson, Dusty? Come on.
No, listen, but they want him to reach his 50th birthday with another title. You know, again, going back to the Hall of Fame, these are super Hall of Fame credentials that even if you're in the Hall of Fame, you'll be the top dog because you did more than the other guys in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, Dusty, you bring up 2 points here, Dusty. And the bottom line is with Larry Holmes. I'll never forget Larry Holmes telling me this. I'll never forget talking to, I see it, Robert Parrish. Chief, what are you going to do next year? He said, I don't know. I said, Chief, you know, I'll never forget what Larry Holmes said. It's hard, Rooney, it's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life when people are going to pay for it.
Exactly. It's your life.
Then let me say this, Doc, okay?
Go ahead.
And let me get this point across, too, with you too, Dusty, being a former champion fighter. You will understand this better than most. And Doc being basically a Hall of Famer reporter. Let me say this, okay? I just said it, my whole mind went blank. But suffice it to say this, all right, that, you know, sometimes, no matter how good you are at something, no matter how great you are, sometimes it would behoove you to know when to bow out gracefully.
Yeah.
Gracefully.
But God,
now,
but
this
but,
guy
but,
is
but,
looking, he's a bona fide Hall of Famer, Bernard Hopkins. He's a bona fide Hall of Famer. He has the numbers, he has the title defenses. As Dusty said, he's still marketable and he can still make money. But people,
exactly.
You can still make money. Doesn't mean you have to try to still make money, at least not in such a brutal sport. Now, maybe if this was basketball and he was around where he was or a bit past his prime, maybe I'd say, you know, I'm going to give you 15, 20
like
million
said,
a year.
If he was a relief pitcher, you bring him in the seventh or eighth inning. Go ahead.
But you see, you have to understand, too, that is the mental, I don't know if I'm coining this phrase, mental adrenaline rush of being the best on top of, not only going to the Hall of Fame, you don't want to be rank and file with everybody else in that community. You want to be on top. You want to be in the roof. You don't want to be in the cement floors or the basement.
You also know, but you've been a former champion fighter. You also know the phrase dementia pugilistica. Okay?
Yeah,
if you stick
right.
around
dementia,
that game
well,
too damn long.
Yeah, well, they're saying that about Pacquiao and Marquez, all about signing for a fifth fight. Now, Marquez, his wife threatened him with divorce, but he's getting a $15 million tax-free
offer. Hold on, Dusty. Marquez's wife wants to divorce him because he wants to fight Pacquiao again?
No, not Pacquiao again. He wants to continue fighting. It doesn't matter whether it's Pacquiao or the General Roach in the bodega.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why I say this to you. And I say it with pride. I say a little ego. I say it kind of loudly. This is the best radio show, not only in New York City, not only in the United States, not only in Russia, but in the world. You hear things here. I remember Brian Taylor talking about when he was playing with Julius Erving, the great Dr. J. And he said, you know, should I watch Julius play because I know I'll see something that I'll never see done again. And you hear things here. If you remember, it was here that we told you about Bin Laden. And it's here again. You haven't heard this anyplace else. That Pacquiao's wife, mother said, hey, let it go. Okay,
let it go.
I mean, how many people have you told you that Bernard Hopkins is coming back into boxing? Rooney, nobody gives you the insight on the WFF like the way he and C Wings do. I mean, this is a great
WWE,
show.
Formerly WWF.
And the thing is,
the sad thing is that
she turns around and says, you see, when Pacquiao was knocked unconscious, I don't want to be like Jinky Pacquiao, who ran out of her seat hysterically trying to comfort her husband because she thought he was dead. I'm not going to go through that. But Marquez says, if she could only allow me one more fight, but she says, the threat of divorce, I don't know, of course it could be just a mild threat, but he's already mentioned divorce. I don't want him. We are so well off. He has ranches. He has money. The kids are going to the best schools. What is one more payday
and
when
she's
you
right.
lose
she's
your
right.
mind?
She validates. And gentlemen, you know, I remember Muhammad Ali, whose birthday once again was happy birthday to your champion. And it's a little sad and touching how Weston said, Dusty said he only saw something about Ali's birthday from the Latin perspective. And I said this about America, about New York City, and about African American. You know, here in New York City, this is the media capital of the world. Here in New York City, the number one city in the world. I'm in Brazil. I can boast. You know what? I'm from the greatest city in the world, and I was a cop in the best police department in the greatest city of the world. And it's sad and touching, as Rooney would say, and I'm going to say a point well taken, that we are in the 21st century. We are in the second decade of the 21st century, and New York City, okay, not Chicago, New York City, not California, New York City, not Texas, doesn't have a daily black newspaper, but Dusty, our Hispanic brother, nuestro hermano, can read El Mundo or El Diario and get a Latin side. And this is the second time that Ali has been recognized. This is the second
time that
Ali has been saluted in a Latin paper, and you heard nothing
in a daily paper
here. And you know why you hear nothing from a daily black newspaper? Because there ain't one.
Yeah.
Sad and touching.
Exactly, and that's the sad thing, and here it is, you know, and the fighter himself, his ego, his adrenaline rush. You were a wrestler, Mel, and you know how it pushes you in one more fight and one more competition
brutal.
And you just cannot let it go, and especially if you have your faculties.
But I have to tell you, as a former champion fighter, you know, and me having, like I said, been a wrestler and done that, but every body slam that you take, you pay for it down the road.
Yeah,
every punch to the head that you take, you know, the accumulation, as I said, dementia pugilistica, as, you know, the uninitiated, you know, any of the fans, you know, that uninitiated doesn't know what that means. Basically, is a... The layman's term for brain damage is what it is, which is
exactly.
An occupational hazard among fighters, especially champion fighters. I mean, it just came out, and football players and whatnot, anybody who's into contact professional sports, even amateur sports. As a matter of fact, it just came out, Dust, with the study on Junior Seau. After examining
Did you read the study on Junior Seau? Wow.
Yeah,
Amazing, but the thing is that you also got to give a vote towards the wife at home, who sees the comfort that the man has gained. By the way, Marquez has been fighting for 30 years. In case anybody,
wow.
He started at eight, and Nacho Bedingfield has been his trainer for 30 years. I mean, amateur and pro, and the same thing with his brother Rafael. And the thing is that here he's been getting beat up all these years. Made us comfortable, took care of us, did everything for us. He's a 5-time world champ. He avenged Pacquiao. Why does he want to fight again? You cannot get into the guts of the athlete, not understanding his side.
That's true.
And that's
but
hard.
That's what you say he's made at least 30, Adam, what you say Marquez at a minimum has made about, what, $30 million in his career, at least somewhere around there.
Here is two schools of thought. I'm going to use the great Joe Frazier, our late dear friend, and another friend, and the guy who, Ali. You know, Joe said something that was comical at one time. Joe said, once you make $1 million, you can figure out something to do with another man. But Ali said something. I never forget one night he listened to some of the Irish reports. Ali was on Irish television. And the guy said to Ali, Doc Stanley, Sports Net Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, live from New York City and the weather, Yorkie, for me amigos and amigas who are listening here in New York. The Hoops is going to join us in a minute, talk a little basketball.
What's up? I'm on here now. What's up, y'all?
Hold on.
Hey, how you doing?
What I remember what Ali said is that, and the guy said, you know, you look back, you were right. You know, the Supreme Court ruled in your favor. You got your license back. So you must feel some ill will and disdain or dislike for the people who ostracized you and implemented these regulations that they were, as we now see, unfair. I always said something that it shows that, you know, beyond the scope of him being, for me, unequivocally the greatest fighter of all times, because, first of all, he's a heavyweight, and Ali, I said something that's longer that Rooney liked. You know, Ali beat the best of his time when he was no longer at his best. You know, the second Ali wasn't the best Ali. He beat Joe twice. He knocked out Foreman. But Ali said, you know what? He said, you know what, I understood where they were coming from. I only thought they would understand I'm coming from. And Dusty, in this situation, understand where you're coming from. It's the best thing he does. It's $6 million. And Rooney, understand where you're coming from. One punch could be one punch too many. This is not basketball. This is not baseball. It's what Alexis Aguayo once said.
Let me tell you something that a championship boxer once said to me. Much like you, Destino, he was also a champion fighter. And he said, you know something, and since that I've heard this phrase on TV mentioned. He said, let me tell you something about this game, okay? You can play basketball, okay, or football or volleyball. You don't play boxing.
this is a kick-ass do-or-die business.
All right. Rudy, could you repeat that one more time, what you just said?
I'll tell you exactly what he told me.
One more time.
He said, let me tell you something about this game, man, all right? You can play basketball. You can play football. You can play volleyball. We don't play boxing. This is
not play. This is a
kick-ass hurt business. If you can't fight, then you're going to get your ass run out of there and more than likely get your ass knocked out and go out on your shield, okay? You don't play this. This is not for play.
Exactly. And he's absolutely right, because here is rumors. Now, here's another rumor. That Oscar De La Hoya was contemplating coming back.
That is no surprise, because Oscar, the last time I talked to Oscar, you was there when you at the Brooklyn Bowl, when I looked around and you sneaked a sandwich off my plate. I remember that. I thought you and the referee, you know, I thought he was cool. He helped you get it off. The little Latin thing, he snuck a sandwich up the plate. But Oscar said then, I love to fight. I love to fight.
You can't get out
and
of
I would
block,
still
man.
Be fighting if I could fight. And this is really no surprise if Oscar's coming back. And it's no surprise for a couple of reasons, because of his love to fight and the fact that what Harold and what Dusty, Lady A, and a Hordle have been saying for years, guys today can't fight. In Dusty's day, when you hit a certain age, you did not think about coming back. But the guys today can't fight. You know, let's take a hold on.
Let me say this before you take a break. Take this 30 seconds to say this, okay, Doc? And I really mean this. And Dusty, being a champion fighter, will know exactly what I mean. And you, Doc, being a Hall of Fame reporter, will know that. The same drive that makes these fighters great, the same intestinal fortitude, the same drive, the same go-get-em attitude, the same heart and drive that makes them great, is the same thing that leads to their downfall.
What Mayweather said. They were talking about Lakefront Gotti one time, and they were saying, you know, Gotti has a lot of heart. And Floyd turned and looked at the guy that said that, and he said something, and we're going to break after this. He says, heart can get you killed.
Exactly.
Not too loud with the agreement. You know, it's early in the year. We can deal with it, but it's early in the year. We were channel. Give me just a second. We'll be right back. Let you know that once again, it's Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Chipitos in Fortaleza, Brazil sponsors Sports in Depth here. And we are moved to Feliz and Obrigada, that they are our sponsors. Doc Daly, Sports in Depth, we got another good 12 minutes left. Before we do, we got to go to the Hoopster. Hoopster, let's talk a little basketball. Everything is happening.
Well,
first of all,
I want to say welcome back. It's about time.
You
forgot about the crew, but I'm glad you didn't. Glad you made it back safe.
Hey, Hoopster, let's talk basketball. Are you happy with the All-Star game selections?
No.
Why not?
No. Tyson Chandler should be starting over Garnett easily.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And then Jeremy Lin almost started over Chris Paul. What?
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Yeah, that's
publicity.
No doubt.
I know,
but Chris Paul just barely beat him. Barely beat him.
Mm.
By a few votes. But I ain't like some of the picks. But I want to see the reserves. I'll let you know who they pick with reserves. But I want to congratulate LeBron James, got over 20,000 points at age 28.
Yes, the youngest guy.
That's the fastest ever since Kobe Bryant did that.
Exactly.
Who's that?
Right.
LeBron James.
We're looking at some things there. I was looking, and I was kind of stunned. Everybody's talking about, you know, the Nets.
The Nets are playing great basketball. They're only two games back behind the Nets. And PJ Kamisimo, I got to say, PJ Kamisimo's doing a hell of a job so far.
Yeah, tremendous.
You got to give him credit. Even though he got choked, But this is he's making up for this.
The Lakers, what's the story? Is it the Kobe disease all over again?
And then did you hear about Kobe and the Howard was went at it?
Again?
Howard was went at it. And then he said he agreed with Shaquille O'Neal that he plays soft.
Yeah.
I didn't name Kobe and who went at it.
And Dwight Howard. In the locker room.
Oh, really? The big
guy? Yeah, in the locker room,
But you know,
I said
on the show earlier, that was a bad move to go there anyway. Too much pressure down there for him in L.A.
One of the reporters said that will be the green light to get Howard to the Nets.
I don't think he's going to the Nets. Brooke Lopez is playing good.
Don't send him to Brooklyn.
They don't need Howard.
Yeah, good.
He will be a disturbance
at this point. I wouldn't
exactly.
Rooney, and I'll tell you something. Doc Stanley, Rooney, you have said that from the giddy-up, that your whole idea is that you thought that he's basically damaged goods.
Yeah.
I told you that from before, Doc, with his back.
In fact, the hoops are too kicked that whole thing that you felt from the giddy-up that even for them to have let him go as in the manner that they did to get nothing back, man, it was a situation, you know what, there's a hole in the carburetor, the cinder block is broke, sell the car tomorrow because we can't wait till next Tuesday.
Let me say this to make this point, okay? You know that, and I know you being a Hall of Fame reporter will obviously know this, you know that Dustin and Hoop, when they say sometimes the best trades are the ones that were never made?
Exactly.
Lucky stars that they didn't give up Brooke Lopez and a ton
of guys.
You're right, Rooney. A great line.
He's playing a hell of a game right now.
So now, what is it that PJ has done that Johnson was doing and was no longer did that got this cup playing good basketball?
They're moving the ball more and they're playing defense and they're rebounding more.
Mm-hmm.
They never did that with Avery Johnson, so they are playing more. They're playing more together out there. They're passing the ball to each other, and they're playing more defense. They're rebounding more.
Yeah, and Johnson and company decided to actually show up for him.
So they're playing good.
Like
the Nets are playing good so far. I don't know what to say right now. But you know who's the shockest team right now is in the NBA is? Anybody know?
Tell us who's
the Clippers. Clippers are the shockest team right now.
Can you believe that?
They're incredible.
The Clippers? The second best record in the league? Are you kidding?
I tell you what. I watched that game on a Friday night in L.A. And once again, Sports and Death is brought to you by Chipitos in fucking Laser Brazil. Sandwiches, pizzas, calzones, numero uno no somente en Fuerte Laser del Mundo. Chipitos. I watched the game, and there was the Clippers got up by high double figures. Kobe and the Lakers will come back. Got up behind double figures. And, Chris Paul, see how he's not stuck, but a tremendous guy. But they stay healthy. They stay healthy. They got a good shot to make the final.
You went to Chelsea comeback. You ain't say nothing yet.
Really?
Lamar Odom get back in shape, man. They're going to be comfortable.
You're right. People forgot about that, too, haven't they?
They'll give out Lamar Odom now.
Yeah, I forgot all about that too.
Then you got Chelsea Phillips. Yo, they're gonna be tough to beat.
Yeah, you know
if
what?
He get back in shape.
I remember saying, "Okay, Hoopsa, hear me, baby. Hoopsa, can they get these guys back? They're all healthy. Can they win it all? Could they beat LeBron and company?
Yes, they can. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Right now, Brostra and Wade are going at it.
What?
He put him on the bench. He ain't playing the whole fourth quarter. He got pissed off about it.
Wow.
They ain't playing too good neither. They've been going up and down.
Hmm.
Yeah, they let the Wizards beat them. That was embarrassing.
Hoopsa, Kobe, number 24 is because it's supposed to be one more than Jordan. Some people, is that true? That's why he was number 24, one more than Jordan? That's just a rumor.
No.
Okay.
No.
I
don't think he's getting that ring the way they play right now. I think we could beat the Lakers. We could beat the Lakers the way they're playing right now. She's beautiful.
Hey, and listen, one thing for sure, we know Dusty be a stronger. He'd be stronger than Miller against Howard. Bring Rudy
in. He'll slap Howard like a beanball, okay? Well, he's playing like an ice cream man, very soft right now.
Hey, Lucio, you said using Dusty's favorite term, he would just slap him around in the paint.
That's the truth. The way he played, that Fraser foul, that was unbelievable there.
Oh, man,
it's ridiculous.
In the middle, you know what I mean?
And then also, I'm going to tell you something else, too, Doc.
Hmm.
You know LeBron James could be a free agent in
2014? That's my Doc Stanley Sports and Depth Block Talk Radio. This is why you must listen, because these people you listen to on my show, they're not the best. They're the absolute best. And these little things that people forget, 2014.
And then also, listen to this, Doc.
Huh?
This is going to shock y'all all. Hmm. He might go back to Cleveland.
hey, what's that?
Listen,
with the kind of money he got, you can always go home again.
Exactly. They can eventually forgive him. I think he might go back to Cleveland or the Lakers. Because Kobe might step down. This might be a serial right here. As Kobe retire, don't be surprised he'll go to L.A. or go back to Cleveland.
Okay. Is there a possibility he could get to L.A. before Kobe leave and him and Kobe could play together?
I don't think that would work, but I'd like to see that. Why it won't work? They both, you can't split the ball and give it to each other. You can't split the ball in half.
It's not going to work.
You got to play together as a team.
Exactly.
That's the truth. Hey, that's what you got me on the show for. Ladies and gentlemen.
What about
that's why we're the best when we're at it, when we are here today.
You don't think at that time in Kobe's career, Kobe was willing to defer some of the power, you know, I mean, about winning. I'm always stunned. It always told me about winning. But I remember Gary Ward told me something. I'll never forget. He said, the Yankees want to win with a certain type of – I mean, you mean to tell me here you are in every your career – he is one of the top players of the era, one of the great players. He comes to your team. You got a shot at another ring. You mean to tell me? That's what people forget about Kareem. It's just how Kareem never had a problem with somebody else being the star. I know we got to take it. And it showed how screwed up, how racist the NBA is to not find a spot for the greatest offensive machine in the history of the game. Kareem never had a problem with somebody else being a star.
Never complained neither. Nicest guy you ever meet.
Kobe Bryant does have a problem with not being
Doc? Don't you know he got a cousin who used to live in the plaza? You know that, right?
Well, yeah. Hey, so,
Red, he works for sanitation.
Dusty, you were saying Kobe Bryant ain't Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Exactly, he's not.
Well, say that again, Dusty.
He's always had a problem with somebody coming in with full-time credentials.
Who's that, Jabbar?
Overshadowing his own credentials. Where has Kobe played? Nowhere else but the Lakers. That's his team. But in comes a Shaq. In comes other people with credentials already established, perhaps better than Kobe himself, and he cannot deal with that.
He looks frustrated out there, Doc.
Yeah, and LeBron James, who you say might go back to Cleveland, he's a god. I would love to see him in New York, either Brooklyn or Manhattan.
He'll never play for New York.
He'll never play for New York, but that's my wish.
Brooklyn could be a possibility.
Right.
So why would he never play for the Nets? I mean, why would he play for the Nets and not the Knicks?
Why? Because don't forget, Brooklyn's up and coming. You got a new arena. And plus, they're building a lot of buildings out there. You ain't been out there? It looked like Manhattan.
Oh, it's a beautiful place.
It looked like Manhattan now.
I'm going to tell you something. They say the rents in Brooklyn are so bad that the rents in Manhattan are cheaper.
Yeah.
You know? really. You bring up a point. I remember, later for you, Dusty. I mean, can you imagine that? You said that. You know, you, here you are, executive notion, and the guy tells you it's $1,500 a month. You say, wait a minute, Amp, is E61st or what? You know what I mean?
Well, actually, I'm not that far from there, so I kind of know about those things. I have seen the Barclays Center. Of course, we haven't been in there as of yet. I'll probably be there for one of the wrestling extravaganza to see Nixon. Mm-hmm. I believe it's Nixon that's coming up, like, what is it, tonight, tomorrow, something
tomorrow,
like that?
Tomorrow. That's going to be a good
tomorrow,
game.
Are they going to be a Barclay or MSG?
Both. They're on both channels, MSG and Yes Network.
No, but I think Dusty meant to follow the gun. I think the upcoming game, Doc, I think it's MSG. I'm not sure.
I believe it's MSG the next game.
Yeah. They're both on Yes and MSG, so.
Yeah.
Yes. It's amazing how the Nets are an outlet for people who are anti-New York, you know, to get in New York and say, hey, it's not, you know, it's not New York per se. I mean, Ken Griffey Jr., there was consideration of him coming to the Mets, but I never get his dad telling me that they were in the airport. And it just shows you the racist mindset of New York. People talk about how New York is, you know, how racist New York is. And people forget down in Wall Street, you know, the Great Slave Trade. I mean, New York at one time seriously considered succeeding from the nation to keep their slaves. And I remember I asked Ken Griffey Senior, what happened with the, you know, the thing with Ken Junior talking to the Mets. He said, "Hey man, we were in the airport and they gave us 15 minutes to make a decision. How you do that? I mean, Ken Griffey Junior was considered by many to be the greatest player in the game, if not just behind Barry. You got to be the greatest center fielder since Willie. 15 minutes, man. I remember the whole thing. 15 minutes. I remember his dad had. He said, "Man, they gave us 15-20 minutes. They got a decision. We're in the airport. They got to make a decision in 15-20 minutes." I remember the Nets. Roy Boe, the late great Hal Jackson, told me, Roy Boe told Rick Barry, "Don't leave me, give you anything you want." Julius Erving, he couldn't give Julius a handshake on a contract. You know, you never forget it, America. Never let you forget. It's always about black
that.
And white. Never
I
let
never
you forget,
that.
Man. You know what I mean? Anything
you want to know about the NBA, Doc?
Well, what's happening now? We talked about the situation with the Johnson, the Nets are really playing good ball. The thing out with LA, the Clippers are playing well. What's up with Steve Nash? Is he really healthy? Is he going
to
be able to?
No, he's still messed up. No, he look old and slow out there.
Are they happy with D'Antoni? I mean, it's amazing
like I said on the show, that was the worst decision the Lakers ever made.
Well, why?
Period.
But why were they jumping at him and giving Brown such a hard time?
You know, that's a good question. Because, you know, him and Kobe, like I said on the show a couple months ago, that him and Joe Bryant played together in Italy with Bob McAdoo. They were teammates.
Okay.
So that was that was like, okay, Kobe said, okay, he played with my dad, I know him. Because Kobe lived and raised in Italy.
He could speak all kinds
of different languages.
Oh, yeah, Kobe speaks freak.
Yes,
when Kobe would come in, man,
because his dad, of course. His dad was a star, you know, back then. Obviously, everybody
And he played with your good friend,
Julius
Erving. So, he played with the 76ers. And also, I got something else to tell you, Doc.
Before you go on, Hoop, let me say this. D'Antoni, to me, Doc, Hoop, to me, D'Antoni, the most overrated coach maybe of all time, okay?
Wow.
All this offensive genius stuff to me is a bunch of malarkey. That the most total amount of beer. Where is this genius at? I've yet to see it. Where is this great offensive genius? Where?
You got to go back to Phoenix. That's where you need to go back to Phoenix. They need a coach now. You know that, right, Doc?
Yeah.
Gary Gentry got fired.
Really?
Yeah, they let him go. Yep, they got the worst record in the NBA right now.
But real quick, Rooney, at any time during the Jets football season, did you
Oh, yeah, that's your question on that? What do you think about the pick with the GM?
Well, who they pick?
The guy from Seattle.
Isaac.
And they picked the guy from Detroit on the coin flip?
Yeah.
On the coin toss from Detroit?
The guy's basically a 10-pound plum, Doc. The guy's a pencil pusher. A capologist, he knows nothing about personnel.
basically the Jets, man, wow, I have to say the direction that they're going. And then you got this, you know, let me tell you something, Doc, okay, which is who bad they hit the Jets. Let me say this, okay?
When they
first brought Rex in, I actually kind of liked him. But the last 2 years, this guy's been a complete clown, okay? All he does is make predictions about what they're going to do. Did you hear him at the press conference about the Jets? Nobody's going to want to play us. Nobody's going to want to play the New York. Well, why aren't you going to play us? Everybody kicks your ass when they play. So why would they not want to play you?
Don't let Seawinsie you say that now. Seawinsie have a fit now. You talk behind his back now. You talk behind his back now. Seawinsie have a fit. You hear that now.
What did John say?
Doing like a spree roll on you over there. He'll choke you over there. He'll choke you over there. Talk behind his team like that. Don't let Seawinsie you say that now. He'll choke you now.
It came out in the paper that Woody Johnson was considering moving up Tannenbaum's assistant. And the guy said, whoa. The assistant is just as bad as Tannenbaum. So why should we?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, Doc, when I see him and Rex and Woody and the rest of those clowns, the first thing I want to hear is, hey, Mo.
Yep.
No. Seawinsie, where you at? Where you at, Seawinsie? Where you at now? Seawinsie, where you at?
He was your assistant. We was early. He's down in Washington. We were able to come
to
live.
Yeah, I spoke to him.
We spoke to him, and I'm glad he got you here. Doc Sandy on Blog Talk Radio, Sports in Depth, Trust in God Radio Network. It is our Sunday show.
Now. You want to know about the NBA again? Anybody?
Well, we want you to hang with us. Your picks, who do you like in this Ravens and New England football game there, Hoopster?
I like to see the two brothers go at it.
Mm-hmm.
Jim and John. I like to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he played with a good friend of mine.
The two brothers, right.
Yeah, I like to see that. That'd be something to see. I like to see that.
Yeah, the two brothers.
I'm tired
of
Atlanta's two impressed me. They won on a humble. It wasn't for Pete Carroll's dumb, stupid decision. Call a timeout, his dumb self. Wanted to choke him, man. Couldn't believe he did that, man.
That never worked.
Try to ice the kicker. Come on, man. What are you doing?
He turned around and act like he didn't call the timeout. You know what I mean?
He whispered. That's all what he did. Idiot. Plus, he's from USC. He's stupid self.
Man, you know,
the only person I'm rooting for is Gonzalez, man. Tony Gonzalez.
No, Atlanta still don't impress me because they won on a, like I say, they won on a humble. Seattle should have won that game. Period.
Yeah.
Atlanta better get some defense
guys,
in there. If they don't play no defense, though, they're gonna get blown out the game. They're gonna get blown out. Because
right.
That quarterback ain't no joke
in
San Francisco.
Atlanta's playing this game today with a giant chip on their shoulder.
Yeah,
they
still don't impress me though.
And they're playing this game with a giant chip on their shoulder. No,
yeah, well,
no
we'll
doubt.
See. We'll see, but they still impressed me. Like I said, Seattle, that was Seattle's game. Period.
Well, I believe, did one of those games kick off already? Did the 1 o'clock game? Did the 1 o'clock game started?
No, they don't start at 3 o'clock, man. 3
o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Okay.
3 o'clock game. 3 o'clock is
6:30, yeah.
That's a long game.
Blog Talk Radio, Sports in Depth, Trust in God Radio. We're back in the city. We want to take time out. Real quickly, as we want to say,
who are your picks? I hear your picks.
I think playing in Foxborough is going to be advantageous. I think if the Ravens play a mistake,
oh, we make a field goal this time. Oh, we make a field goal this time.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened last year? He had a touchdown pass that wasn't called.
Right.
I think San Francisco is too big and too strong for
and that quarterback ain't no
Atlanta.
Joke from the
yeah, yeah.
What
will happen regardless one way or another? I think Frisco's going to win. So Randy Moss will play against New England again and beat them for his ring, or Randy Moss and the Niners will play against Ray Lewis again.
I like to see that.
Yeah, I like that though. I want to say real quick. Let's take a time out here, quicker, not time, but remembering that tomorrow. Celebrate the birthday of the dreamer. Some of his great quotes was life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others?
Don't forget tomorrow, our president gets sworn in again. So,
yeah,
congratulations to him.
Hold on. We got a couple of days. Also, some more King statements. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience, the way he stands in times of trial and controversy. Forgiveness is not an occasional act, but a permanent state of mind. Until a man has found something to die for, let each panel member give us a quick thought on King Day, and with that, we'll go. We're going to start out with Rudy, your thoughts on King Day.
I know you will.
Wow. What can I say, Doc? What can I say? I mean, just a great day, a monumental and momentous day, you know, a day that, wow. I'm almost speechless, man. I mean, it's so momentous that
almost be beyond words, to be honest with you. I mean, just that's just how my heart and soul,
it's amazing because, like you said, you know, Rooney, thing is, it's a day we thought would never come about in so many ways.
Yeah.
As we also salute the second inauguration of Barack Obama, so many of us never thought, my good friend, Desha Cotamasa, I said, Desha, you don't understand. You know, so many of us did not think that we would see a black president at this time. Art Rush told me something, I'll never forget. Art Rush told me he never thought there'd be a black baseball player.
You remember he told me that, dog?
So imagine a black player. I saw my mother, 84. Me and my mother, it was her birthday again when we saw the first inauguration. I was spent it with her. And she told me, 87 years old, I never thought I'd see a black president in my lifetime.
You know, so I remember looking, they were panning the audience in the crowd. And I remember, and by the way, and Jesse, I remember Jesse Jackson there too. A lot of people there, including Jesse, by the way, the Reverend Jackson, they were crying. Tears were literally streaming out of their eyes and down their cheeks at the very first, inauguration.
And you remember the great words of Dr. King, I may not get there with you, but we as a people will see the promised land. And so, as Dusty talked about earlier, how apropos that this second inauguration is on the day that it's King's birthday. How apropos to me.
And his birthday is really on the 15th, Doc.
What's that?
His birthday is really on the 15th.
Yeah, it's the 15th, And
they keep moving it around, though.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it was a great move. It kind of would have backfired if he had a problem that one, but I remember the great line by Beyonce, God is in control of everything, and God knows everything. And we open this show with a prayer, and I understand that there are people who are Muslims, there are people who are Dalai Lamas, there are people who are Hindu, there are atheists, But it's like I said, I want to take the opportunity. When I was with my buddy Desha Cotamasa, Desha wakes up in the morning praying and kneeling down, and I feel too, I don't want anybody to outpray me or to their God. But, God runs the show, and it's just, people have no idea. We're only 14% of this nation, and there's still so many things today. Evelini, a lady friend of mine's in St. Paulo, sent me a great little saying. She said, every day, it's the same old. And yet, when you stop and turn around and take a look back, everything has changed. And it's just, it's amazing how Arthur Ashe, I remember Arthur once said, we as African Americans have to be twice as good to get half a chance. And Dusty is a rare cut. Dusty is this militant black Latin, as my man in Brazil the same way. Because a lot of Latins don't see the black movement. They're either Latin, they're either on the fence, or they're white. And my man Dusty, and Desha the same way. There's a lot of acknowledgement and a lot of pride in what African Americans have done. I've said this redundantly. All of the civil rights that everybody has in this country, and we're talking Jew, German, Russian, the Africans who come here with this pure blood mindset that they are superior to us, everything that everybody has obtained from a positive civil right nature, King and Abernathy, Haight, Farmer, Meredith, those were the people who did that. And I say this again, in this country, nobody but us got hosed down. Nobody but us got bitten by dogs. Nobody but us got hung by trees. Nobody but us had their churches bombed, their women raped, their men hung by trees. Nobody but us. But we did it not for just us. We did it for everybody, like Kurt Flood. Kurt Flood wasn't doing what he did for black baseball players. He was doing it for baseball players. And what King did and those others, they did it for not only America, for the world, because the world comes to America for a better life, and you cannot ever forget it. And the movement that King made, the sacrifices, and when we talk about King, we can't forget Malcolm X, who provided a lot of support. And the other side of white America said, we better listen listen to what King got to say, because as Malcolm said, by any means necessary.
You know what I mean? And Doc, you know, they got a documentary coming out with Angela Bassett and Mary J. Blige playing Betty Sabazz.
Yeah, Betty, and I've had the pleasure of meeting the late Mrs. X. I've had the pleasure of being in the
Doc, okay? But Malcolm and King both knew that they weren't going to have be able to live the very long lives because of the movements that they had led. I mean, there's when they have the Malcolm X movie, there's a part in it where he actually meets Dr. King and they meet together, and they're driving and talking, about their various movements together. And then so Malcolm says, well, we're both dead men, and they both have that kind of uneasy laugh together. They knew, Doc. They both knew that. Like you said, when King gave that speech about, I may not get there, which he knew, Malcolm knew, they both knew.
Yeah, it's nice that you say that, because I remember in the book, the great book, by my beloved, dearly departed man, Miss Howland, how Bill Gallo, Leroy Neiman, and Emanuel stood at Mr. Dilly, and in the book, Hal's talking about being in the car with Dr. King, and he's noticing the intense and in-depth manner in which Mr. King is sort of ingesting his surroundings and looking and peeping at things and taking a deep concentration concerning. He says, hey, Martin, he's kind of curious about anything here. And he says, yeah, Hal. He said, because I'm not going to be coming this way again. And he knew. He said, like anybody else, I'd like to live, but it doesn't matter to me anymore. Longevity has its place, but like anybody else, like anybody else, I'd like to live. Longevity has its place, but I've been right to the mountaintop.
He set the blueprint by doing what he was doing. I don't know if you guys, I know I did, so I'm only going. When they had the long week series of Roots again, I was glued to this television. And they ran it for the whole Christmas week and relived those moments, man, when everything began with that brutality. And it began to move forward, and they were freed, and the family grew, and there was Alex Haley began to trace back his family to where they are today, and these were the forerunners of the Martin Luther Kings and the Malcolm X's and all those folks who began to set
the point you hit, Dusty, the roots. The foundation.
They were exactly the roots. And then when these folks during the last series were fighting for voters' rights, and anyone who demanded voters' rights was killed and lynched and burned out of his house, and the whippings because Kunta Kinte will not stand still. He was a free Mandingo warrior, and they cut off one of his feet. And all of that struggle, in a sense, was talked about through a Martin Luther King, through a Malcolm X. I remember I had the glory, and I'm gonna tell you guys, you don't know how you were in the right place at the right time. At times, I used to walk through Harlem as a kid. I lived in Harlem anyway, and I was born in Harlem Hospital. And here was this man standing on a freaking soapbox talking about the free man and the black man, and give us a parcel of land. You don't want us. We don't want you. I said, man, this guy's crazy, man. I didn't know for him. I went home. My mother, a purebred Puerto Rican man, a white Puerto Rican, she said, I told Mom, there was this guy talking about getting land. And she says, well, was he light skinned? He had glasses. He had a bow tie. I says, yeah. I said, well, that's Malcolm X. That's Malcolm X. He's a man he's the man that is talking about separate nation, because after all, look at your father, look at you guys. You're going through a lot of segregation, and they want their own land. And what I remember a lot was across the street from where he was speaking, there was almost a whole police precinct of sector cars, you know, watching and looking for, I don't know what they were looking for. Maybe create an incident, but he was followed.
At the first opportunity to incarcerate him or disband him.
And he was followed everywhere he went. I saw him on maybe several corners. I said, oh, so that's the guy. So as I got older, of course, and began to read about the Muslim movement, and I read his autobiography by Alex Haley, by the way, and all that, I began to see what the Martin Luther Kings were talking about. What? Because he was an extension to me. You guys can criticize him, but to me he was an extension of Malcolm X in a certain way, because the Muslims incorporated themselves, but Martin Luther King was incorporating everybody. Malcolm X went to Europe, Egypt or something, he says, you know, they were white Muslims.
Mecca.
When he left the country, he found out that the teachings of Elijah Muhammad were false in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
They were, you know, we're getting really close. I want to say, too.
To find blonde, blue-eyed Muslims.
Exactly.
And
not only question Elijah Muhammad, but also start to investigate. King was, you know, I got a chance to meet, to see Dr. King. He came to my church, got a chance to see him, and his great line, too, of so many of them. We're going to close here. We've got about 2 minutes left. A great line, too, that we have to remember. It's not the longevity of one's life, but the quality of one's life. Rooney, close us out real quick, and we're going to, so we can get a couple of minutes up with the mic on lights up. But Rooney, close us out real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time. It's remembering Dr. King tomorrow, also saluting Barack Obama, saying happy birthday to a host of great champions. Muhammad Ali at the top of that list, 71 years old.
They had a birthday cake for him yesterday.
Also, Buddy McGirt on the 17th, Roy Jones Jr. on the 15th, Bernard Hopkins on the 15th. Joe Frazier was on the 12th, the 10th, there's George Foreman, and on the 31st, Jack Roosevelt Robinson. Ladies and gentlemen, none other than Rooney has something to say. Rooney.
Don, the Sports In-Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In-Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I have been here. We have been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The Straw That Stirs the Drink has been here. And that's been the incomparable Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
You know, it is. I am moved deeply when you talk about the likes of Dr. King and Ali and Stevie Wonder and Harold Al Jackson and Dusty talked about movement that somehow, remotely, nobody like me be saluted. Gentlemen, we're going to close out now with Stevie Wonder, and we're going to close with three of King's great lines. The ultimate measure of man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of trial and controversy. Forgiveness is not an occasional act, but a permanent state of mind. It's always the right time to do the right thing. It's not the longevity of one's life, but the quality of life. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? I should be safe in the bottom of my heart. God bless you all, and trust in God. This is Sports in Depth, Live Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. They're here. That's the X. The Hoopster, Sea Wings, and Malcolm Cell Smith. We all wish you a happy King Day. We also wish you good luck and enjoy the inauguration of the first African American president in the history of the greatest nation in the world, Barack Obama.
Back to back.
Also, quickly, want to
like
say,
the Bulls there, like Chicago, huh?
back to back. That's his country. And
right.
With that, 90 seconds left. I'm going to say, Mommy, love you. Happy birthday. Gentlemen, thanks
happy
for being
birthday.
With me. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth from the bottom of my heart. Trust in God. Theodoro, Brazil. Theodoro Elvis. Trust in God. Thank you, my God. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. Enjoy King Day. We'll be with you tomorrow with a boxing special of Sue Bitch's birthday.